many talks of very different technical tools, but more or less the same underlying object, this quadrant plasma. And I will take my own take on it. So this is a short outline of what I will speak about. And my main message will be this magnetic component of the plasma. I will concentrate on quadrant plasma close to TC. So that would not be the complete region, which is this one, but it is something between TC and 1.5 TC. So it is like roughly 200 to 300 MeV, where there are evidences of very important role of this magnetic monopoles or magnetic quasi-particles, as I call them. And the message is that it helps very much to decrease viscosity and to somehow put it in connection with the ADS-CFT results, as I will show shortly. But with, I want to remind at this point that we still don't understand. We get gravity dual understanding of this transport coefficients, but not understanding in basic variables. So this is what I think is missing, and we're trying to move. There are a couple of projects which are not finished and ongoing about this, which I want to mention again. So I start with this big map of the territory where the strongly coupled quadrant plasma is in between. And we started with the Rigg data, as Uli described in this morning. And that is related to hydrodynamics. And we were surprised how well hydrodynamics works. Of course, we have lattice simulations. We have equation of state from lattice simulations, which work pretty well with hydrodynamics. We also get from lattice potentials between particles. We first of all know what quasi-particles are, quarks and gluons, and they're pretty heavy close to TC. That surprised us. They're rather heavy, non-relativistic. And the potential between them, the static potential between charges, are very, very large. And that led us to think about quantum mechanics and bound states, and the bound states are a huge abundant number of bound states. Hadronic bound states which survive above TC, these potentials are approximately right. That is charmonium, these are few ordinary mesons to about this 1.5 TC. We found baryons are surviving, there are other exotic objects. So calorons are the finite temperature instantons, which can also be looked as baryons made of monopoles, of NC monopoles. And we have, on the other hand, when we think about these bound states, there is no end to it because there are two particle, three particle, many particle. If it is a liquid, we have to go to many body theory, and Uli already mentioned one important aspect, the strongly coupled cold atoms, which can be made strongly coupled. On the other corner, we have plasma physics, which is an old field. And actually, with this quadrant plasma language, by the way, a little small story is that when I wrote the first paper with the title quadrant plasma and sent this to the journal told me that everything related to plasma physics should need special permission. And the way how I get around it was to get from some noted plasma physicist a little note saying that it has nothing to do with plasma physics. No, maybe it's not so much true, because we have to learn from plasma physics. And in particular, I learned a tool which I will be using, this molecular dynamics, which I'll explain a little later, which goes to transport properties, which is the main thing. The transport properties you keep in mind, the viscosity and the diffusion constant, which Derek just described. So we have also a lot of other stuff from plasma physics, in particular energy loss, collective modes, the smartphone. By the way, this red means that I will speak a little about it, and the black means I wouldn't. So now we go and we get new things on the block, the string theory, which evolved into ESCFT, and that has connection to transport properties, etc. This is extremely interesting. Of course, I will not speak about it. We just heard something about it. The connection, other connection to n equal 2, n equal 4 supersymmetric theories is my other direction, and that direction involves monopoles. So we know that if we don't get to this n equal 4 and n equal 2 theory in the simplest case, but consider their modular spaces with some Higgs inch, etc. They have tremendous amount of this modular spaces, monopoles, duality, and that also will be important. Now, one more corner is that in plasma physics, we have flux tubes. And the interrelation between electric phenomena and magnetic phenomena in plasma are very instructive. Now, my main point would be that in this temperature region, a plasma consists roughly of half of electric, half of magnetic objects, and this is completely new type of plasma. The objects actually try to expel each other. And the other aspects of it is how these objects, the monopoles, are supposed to condense. They repel each other also. The two identical monopoles have Coulomb charges, and yet they both are condensing that's supposed to lead to confinement. Now, one thing is if confinement is due to Bose condensate of monopoles, then above the confinement phase transition, you should have all these monopoles there, but in the form of normal gas. And indeed, there are flux tubes in plasma, and we can work it out. So these are my main bottom lines. What I want to say here is that you see it's a very complicated field. Practically all fields of physics are included, so you have to be very clever and have many hands, so to say, to get to all of it. And I start with a summary, and this is one plot which I want to go to summary, right? And that is total summary of a transport in viscosity, which is in under log, and it is inverse, versus diffusion constant, which is the dimensionless units, and this is the dimensionless units, log log plot. So here we have weak coupling, here we have strong coupling. Let me do it. In the weak coupling end, we have this line with a slope of 1. This is particularly done for some results in literature on n equal 4 theory, but that is not important because in weak coupling, both quantities are proportional to mean theta, which are the same. And the other corner is a strongly coupled one. This is this. Now, the diffusion constant decreases as coupling increases. So therefore, this direction is strongly coupled. When it goes stronger and stronger coupled, the viscosity goes to the famous constant over there. And I use this next order result from Stirling's to make this curve. And the basic message which I want to make is that the experimental value from weak, roughly speaking, are here. They're pretty far from where weak results start deviating. They sit where strong coupling results are here. And this molecular dynamics result, which I will explain you later in the talk, are these colorful curves. And they are different depending on how much monopole fraction in the plasma is there. And this blue line is kind of the best, and that is 50-50. So it sits not exactly where it is CFT. It doesn't reach this highest. It also has a minimum viscosity, and then it goes rising again. But it sits in the right ballpark. So this different approaches have very similar behavior in some sense. And this is done, of course, with kind of gravity string theory. This is done with normal equation of motion for quasiparticles in many body physics. So that's my main result. Now, I returned many, many years ago and emphasized this kind of historic introduction that 30 years ago when this quantum plasma was invented, the idea was that we take, like in the air, we have pressure inside, pressure outside, not the both hemispheres, we create volume, and we have this interesting phenomenon if pressure difference is large. In QCD, we cannot pump out from QCD vacuum all these instantons, monopoles, and other non-crystallography phenomena, which go to the back constant and shift to the ground state energy. The idea was we just pump in something simple, quantum plasma, and see the pressure difference, of course it explodes, then we see how it explodes, and measure B. And now the message is that this object is equally complicated as the vacuum, at least about TC. So the other thing I want to say is a little bit of Hydra history. The Hydra itself was well represented by Uli. I want to say that actually the idea that somehow there would be a strongly coupled matter was long from right this paper was I proposed at that time that the virtual photon plus or minus annihilation in 200s go into spherical explosion. Of course, I was not crazy. That was just before synthetic freedom and jets. But that was wrong. Now, then we tried to use it for PP collision, and although longitudinal description in rapidity seems to be compared well to hydro theory, the transverse one didn't work out at all. So that was again a failure. The first time I tried that was in this paper with a student, Ming-Hung, and it actually worked pretty well. And we started with SPS. And because we started with SPS is a lower energy than weak, that's why we have different perspective than Uli had. And we knew from the beginning that different particles result at different time, and using this hadronic cascade is extremely important. In other words, mean free path for ordinary hadrons is not particularly short, so we couldn't think of hadronic matter as ideal liquid, as we knew for that. And when we started with Derek in these years to do hydro again, we knew that, and therefore that was correctly done. So, and the main difference was that this liquid flow increases with energy, while in all other approaches it did not. Just skip it. And the other thing is the zonic boom. Again, Uli mentioned it, maybe I cancel it. This is one of the experimental data from Phoenix, a different group, to show what you see here is a two jets back to back that are very peripheral collisions, nothing here. However, in all other cases, you see that the peak is around this red curve, and the red curve corresponds to Mach angle. And what is so interesting is that similar thing was obtained by Steve and company from ADS-CFT. And they also see that for subzonic, there is no Mach cone. For superzonic, this is a Mach cone, very clearly seen. And what is so beautiful in ADS-CFT, what I guess they're working on, is going to the non-hydrodynamical core and see these shock waves there, which are also not hydrodynamical, close to the very, very head of the charged quark, which hydrodynamics cannot do. This is one more example from plasma physics, which happened to use this type of technique routinely. And this is, for example, an experiment in which you see two cones, and that is because there are two important excitations with two different speeds. Now, so now I come to the main thing, what is this plasma of many-body theory of plasma make of non-relativistic excitations. And if you want to describe it by some classical molecular dynamics, there are two differences from what is done in normal plasma physics. These are classical colors, which vary in time, and we will use it some equation for that. And there are also magnetic objects. So I will not go into this, just because this is a very general physics, but since audience is not very much in that, I should remind you that in this case, the coupling constant is, roughly speaking, ratio of potential energy that contain electric coupling constant divided by distance, divided by temperature. And so when it is much less than one, it's a gas. When it is much larger than one, it becomes larger than one, it becomes liquid, and then it becomes solid. So that's an example of a solid, very well-known solid. If you take ordinary salt and melt it, you actually get this ratio about 60, and this is as close to quark-gluon plasma as you can get in the kitchen, so to say. This is from numerical simulation, which we did with these different parameters for a correlation parameter, and indeed you see liquid, solid, and gas. And then you dial approximate number which you want for your quasiparticles. First, only electric quasiparticles. So you have quarks and gluons with certain interaction. The colors are rotating according to Wolk equation. I won't go into technicality here. Just to show how diffusion constant depends on the coupling, it depends on power law over some modern order of magnitude. And so the larger the coupling, as I said, the less particle diffuse, which is not surprising. The particle start forming first liquid with local order and then solid. So particles don't move. However, energy and momentum, which is viscosity, it is a transport of energy and momentum, does move because it can move without particles and can move in other ways. That's the main message. If we go to shear viscosity, this is, by the way, the same Kubo formula as you all read from Sonstein's papers, but used in this technique, which is routinely done. So we actually, I didn't say much about technicality. There is something about a few hundred particles, and they're just moving according to equation of motion, which in this case is just Coulomb law, mostly. They have different colors, and they're attracted or repel each other, etc., etc. Now, the viscosity as a function of gamma has a minimum, and then it goes up. And that has been observed in all plasma physics examples. That is because there is one mechanism here that momentum is transferred by particles, and that disappears. That's the same as viscosity. And then there are other, as we get a crystal, it starts propagating collective excitations, and the viscosity goes up again. So this is that's why there is the best possible liquid somewhere here. Now we go to these monopoles. The fact that we have a lot of magnetic quasi-particles is very dramatic, and somehow it was never made before. So I want to emphasize once again, very, very quickly, of course, because there's no time to detail. So you all know that in supersymmetric theories, there is huge, I already said it, that there are lots of moduli spaces with different heat sink and different magnetic objects which go from one to another, Zeidenbeaten and all that. In PCB, we don't have supersymmetry, so they're not degenerate. We don't have energy zero. They are states with different, and you should view it as some weight of different heat sink. But in different configurations or part of the space in the configuration, there is a particular heat sink and existence of non-zero matrix like this fixed. What directions get massive gluons, what get massless gluons, and also the existence of monopoles. Lattice tell us that there is a magnetic screening mass, which never appears in perturbation theory, but appears if you have magnetic objects. Furthermore, the magnetic mass, which is the second statement is less known. The magnetic mass is actually crosses the electric mass and exceeds it below temperature 1.4 T. So in this region between 1 and 1.4 C, there are, seems to be more magnetic objects than electric. And there are also, they can be also seen on the lattice directly. I wouldn't explain how. This is by means of topology games. This is done by the Berlin group. And you see three dions, so dual dions, and the total topological charge of the three guys is one. This is actually an instanton made of three monopoles some time ago. Okay, so this is my general view on electric magnetic phi on the phase diagram. So it's kind of new phase diagram. It is published now in this paper with the student Liao. So here you have electric dominated, at weak coupling you have electric dominated plasma, similar to what we have in electrodynamics. Here we have magnetically dominated region, so here presumably we have confinement due to magnetic superconductivity, so to say a dual superconductor. But what is important that the line where electric and magnetic coupling or densities, etc., are equal is not here, not at the confinement. In fact, at the confinement, some phenomenon like this flux do.
Well, what's mu? What are we plotting as a function?
Mu is mu baryon, this is density.
Real
baryon density. Here we have color superconductor, which is completely electric phase. The magnetic object like monopoles are confined here, right, with the flux tubes, etc. So here definitely it goes, goes from electric and magnetic dominated. But what is important is that even inside the plasma itself, you can find that electric objects and magnetic don't like each other. That's the basic thing. They try to expel each other. The guy who wins gets the volume. The guy who expels gets the flux tubes. And this is how it goes. And there are many details about it, in particular the Dirac condition, which connects the coupling constant. So when the two coupling constants are equal, they equal one on some line. And that is electric-magnetic equilibrium line. Why this diagram is better? Because the flux tubes, in particular, they don't disappear in the confinement. They actually are maximal here in some sense. I don't have time to tell you what exactly sense. They only disappear later. A little bit education about motion of electric and magnetic objects. So this fact is a century old. It comes from Henri Poincaré, who noticed that if you have a charge at the origin and you put a monopole, the monopole will rotate around electric field like ordinary electron rotates around magnetic field. And if it goes closer to the charge, it rotates quicker and with smaller radius because the field is stronger. So it moves on some cone. This is the picture. And while it moves on the cone and rotates, the rotating charge, the rotating magnetic object is the same as electric dipole. And if you think about this electric dipole, it always has polarity such that it repels from the charge. So magnetic moment of any charge will repel of electric object of any charge. That's very important. They don't like each other. Quantum mechanically, this is even more clear because they rotate in smaller circles, so you have electrolyzation energy. But even classically, they repel.
You mean like abelian, right?
I mean abelian, but the same thing happens. If you have Higgsing, you just have like three massless electrodynamics minus trace. Yes? So it works. In a particular Higgs situation, it works like this. Now, this is my second problem. And the second problem is we invented ourselves about a year ago. So what happened if you have a dipole, two static charges, plus and minus electric, and you put monopole to move in that field? This is just a very simple thing. It moves with in this electric field of the dipole. It happened to be a very complicated problem, but qualitatively what it does, it, one particular set of solutions are such that it goes toward one repel to another repel, and it can be trapped in between. This is some examples of these trajectories. And so two charges play ping pong without even moving by this monopole which goes between them. This is very interesting. Why it is interesting? Because Budker, again, in plasma physics, Budker invented this called propcatron, a magnetic bottle, to keep plasma and it's based on the same idea, except he used to have these coils. He didn't have dual objects. So now we have two dual objects, and this situation appears by itself. You don't need imagination of Budker. You just have static dipole and ask how monopole moves, and it moves in this way. From here, I jump a lot of stuff. So now we have simulation. We have about 1,000 particles in this case. And they have variable fraction of them is electrically charged and magnetically charged. And equation of motion are classical equation of motion with electric or magnetic Coulomb and cross term, which is Lorentz term. And the Lorentz term drives the gain because in the electric field, magnetic object rotates, in the magnetic field, electric objects rotate, and everything works like this. So we take them, make matter out of it. It turns out it is self-contained. You can create little drop out of these 1,000 particles, study their collective excitations, all kinds of things. Don't have time for that.
But you assume magnetic monopoles are light.
No, they're not relativistic particles. In fact, the masses which they have is about 500-600. I'm not right at TC. I'm a little bit above TC. At very high temperature, monopoles become heavy, yes, and rare and disappear. But here they are basically, if I am on this equilibrium line, the property of electric objects adjoint gluons and magnetic objects adjoint monopoles happen to be the same. So they are nearly the same, and I study how plasma that behaves as a function of this fraction. So this is diffusion constant versus gamma. And again, it decreases. That comes from a correlation length, from a correlation function, from Kubo formula, this one. And you see that it has variable power. The one with kind of 50 means 50-50 decreases with a little smaller power. And that is roughly not very different qualitatively from what Derek was telling you. Derek was telling you the diffusion constant from AdS-CFT is 1 over coupling constant square root. And qualitatively, it goes to 0, and coupling becomes infinite as some power, and power is a square root. So we don't have that much different situation. And this is eta. Eta goes to a constant. And what is important, if you have more monopoles, it's significantly less. Because if you have more monopoles, they create maximal confusion of the motion. Because if you have electric and magnetic object, each of them curve their respective trajectory and try to kill collective excitations like plasma oscillations by this effect. So it is my version of magnetic turbulence, which is put to microscopic level. There are particles which are electric and magnetic in complete mixture. I don't have time for that. Collective modes, etc. Of course, we discover with this simulation a little drop of such plasma. It has all kinds of excitations. We can study different excitations going to different correlation functions. Some are visible at one, some are visible in the other. It's like whole nuclear physics with all this collective excitation on top of it. Okay, flux tubes. The basic idea is extremely simple. This is a flux tube, say electric. Electric flux tube, and these are monopoles. So monopoles which go from outside, turn to rotate inside, and go away. Their energy doesn't change, but their momentum does. And if momentum, so Lorentz force is still a force, although it doesn't change energy, but it changes momentum quite a lot. And what it means is that if this particle do this, they put pressure on the flux tube and they compress it. And that mechanism is known to work at superconductors and create this called the Bricosa vortices. Or a new superconductor where we think it is our, you see these things are done like this, it's stuff and other stuff. But in fact, you don't need superconductivity to have it. You only need a gas of dual objects. That is enough to make these flux tubes. And indeed, flux tubes may exist above TC, and they do. So we have large paper about it to appear, but I only want to show you this. Here, there's a flux tubes in solar plasma, which certainly exist without any superconductivity. And but these are huge. These are millions of kilometers, and the transfer size are thousands of kilometers. So here, you can simply create pressures inside and outside, pressure field to pressure plasma outside. But our tubes are microscopic. You have to solve the equation of motion, quantum mechanical. So this is one thing that maybe, how much time I have?
10 minutes.
Yeah, so I could maybe take a little bit of time and explain a bit of why do I think there are flux tubes. That comes from lattice. So lattice tell you that there is static potentials. And they study, in particular, Richard Karsh and his group, study these potentials in great detail. The confinement means that at temperature Tc, a linear potential in free energy disappears. What they measure on the lattice is to put two particles, and what it is a free energy. And linear coefficient, the tension of a string, disappear at Tc. That's the definition of Tc. However, if you calculate entropy by doing the energy derivative over temperature, or energy, just energy, by subtracting Ts from free energy, you find potentials which are still function of temperature and distance, which are very similar to what you see below Tc. And furthermore, the tension actually in energy, not decreasing, but increasing. And it has a big rise at Tc. The entropy of that situation, say, at some given r, say, at large sufficiently r, is huge. At Tc, the entropy goes to 20 units per pair. What does it mean? It means that the total number of states involved in that dipole is like exponent of 20. It's huge number of states occupied FTC, and only above TC it disappears, and around 1.5 TC this thing is gone. So there are very robust strings with about twice tension. It is not seen in free energy because entropy and energy cancel each other. That is not surprising because the string have many shapes, and Polyakov many years ago explained why you get phase transition. So, but you still have that flux tube, and the question, so this is this flux tubes and this data which we try to explain by this approach. I told you already that. Now the other thing which we try to do in some many-body setting with a student who is a student from Kent, who was visiting us for a while, very good guy, also needs a postdoc job soon, Marco Cristoforetti. So this is the question, how, if you have some picture of these monopoles mixed with electrically charged objects, quark and gluons, you can have classical plasma, but then you ask a question, and when confinement happens? Confinement is, of course, classical phenomenon, and that is Bose-Einstein condensation monopoles. That must be quantum, right? So we look at the results. There is very naive Bose-Einstein condensation arguments from Einstein, and that is only good when the particles are non-interacting. We looked what is known about Bose condensation strongly interacting system, and that actually was studied. In particular, it was studied for helium 4. And the most inspiring paper we found was a 50-year-old paper by Feynman in the 1950s, who explained that, that the particles, so if you have some particles sitting in, what is Bose condensation? It is when there are paths which are periodic in Matsubara time, and all paths must be periodic. But it can be periodic for each particle is periodic by itself. That's a normal case. If a particle can go after a period to this point, and the particle which was here go to this point, and this go to this point, this free particle can exchange their places, it is still a periodic path. So if you find infinitely long path when many particles, this big polygons, as Feynman called them, get amplitude like this, that is the signal of Bose condensation. And Feynman introduced a parameter y, which is the amplitude of this jump. And he said if parameter is some critical value, which is about this number actually came from later words in Feynman, but the idea is the same, the series over these polygons would diverge and there wouldn't be Bose condensation. So they created theory of a lambda point based on what is the action needed for a jump. And we now study this liquid helium with this criterion using realistic potentials. And that also came to a very interesting question, which I was not aware of. A question which existed for a long time, why liquid helium is superfluid and solid helium is not super solid? Why in a solid phase the same thing cannot happen? Why particles cannot exchange places coherently in a solid like they do in liquid? And as far as I can tell, the difference is only in the magnitude of the action needed. This is just because solid phase in helium is a little denser than liquid. And if we can create some other situation, it may be a super solid. But that's exciting.
But you know there are recent experiments that
suggest
the existence of some factors.
There is recent experiment, but after that experiment, there are a huge amount of activity, in particular Monte Carlo people have calculated the same thing as they did for liquid helium, they calculated for solid helium, and they all concluded they cannot see any trace of BEC. So the experiments are there, but they're not explained. Yes? Nobody understands that, including authors or any specialist. Me, certainly not. Yes? So I have no idea what was seen in those experiments. Yes? But this is very fascinating. Now, if so with Marco, we are doing this study at EEG at the program for path integral simulations with the interchange. And it kind of semi-works for helium-4. And then we're supposed to put charged Bose gas, which was not well studied, to tell what exactly our criteria needed for Bose condensation of these monopoles or compactions. So I'm practically done. These are my conclusions. One conclusion is that we have strongly coupled QGP at RIC. It generates robust flows, The flow is well described by Hydra, as Uli demonstrated, even surprisingly well. It works that even charm quarks, surprising to everybody, seems to flow with the medium. And now, by the way, with the printed running, they get statistics, etc. They go above 4GeV PT, which Derek forgot to mention, which will tell about beauty. So whether B quarks are flowing with the medium or not, we don't know yet. Soon we'll know. There seems to be this conical flow. It's difficult to get it from Hydra, as we said. However, other approaches get it. I'm sure it is there. Three-body correlations, three-particle correlations discussed at Quark Matter, which is very messy subject, seems to support it. So I have no doubt about that. Now, here comes my main message, that above TC, QGP is dominated by magnetic quasi-particles. So it's not only that coupling constant is of the order one, but what is important is that magnetic coupling, which is the inverse of the electric coupling, according to Dirac, is also around one. And by the way, when it goes to very high temperatures, which care, like an electric coupling becomes weak, then the magnetic becomes very, very strong. And so these guys retreat to some flux tubes and strongly coupled magnetic sector remains and weakly coupled electric. And in the vacuum, it seems to be the opposite, that magnetic is weakly coupled. And we are in the middle, in the region where they're both strongly coupled, and that is this equilibrium region. And I think part of the reason we have so good liquid is this electric and magnetic objects. So we did this molecular dynamics, get viscosity and diffusion constant, which are affected by these monopoles quite a lot. This is this duality picture. Now, the CFT, of course, provides a different picture, not necessarily completely different. By the way, N equal 4 theory is really self-dual theory. It has the same amount of electric and magnetic objects, and it is very interesting how many of these things exist there. This thing doesn't work. Sorry, wrong move. Yeah, somehow it doesn't. So this is the main message of my summary, which I put at the beginning, which tell you that if you plot on ether deep plot where roughly these data are and where the CFT curve is strong coupling and where our classical MG curve, they are all approximately sitting on top of each other with the accuracy we have. And why exactly that happens is a good question. Another good question is why in all systems we know the viscosity has a minimum. The picture which was shown from Son and Skarinets paper have all these minima, and plasma also has a minima, et cetera, et cetera. And always this DSFT case, it goes to the best possible liquid and never rises again. I think this is somehow related to Lagrange limit, et cetera. So this only feature is different from anything else. Other features, that viscosity go to a constant and that diffusion constant does not, and how they depend on coupling constants roughly seems to be also consistent. It is not that I imply that I understand how many monopoles and gluons are there in ADS-CFT, but there must be some relation.
Very interesting, but it's very interesting that you try to the strong coupled fixed with the monopole. But in QCD, the monopole could be defined only some gain, maybe a maximum abelian gain. And so your picture would be depend on some gain, or not?
Well, this is this issue that we don't have actual heat sink. In supersymmetric theories, we have modular spaces. We can dial any value of Higgs and it's stable, right? In QCD, if you dial some a-naught equal constant, it is only classically stable, simple energy goes zero. Quantum mechanically, it is not. So we have all kind of rotation, and there is no average direction in which fixing happens. There is such thing, however, as the average Polyakov line, which is exponent of Reynolds. And that depends on temperature, and we know its magnitude, but it's not, does not have a particular direction. But so localization of particular monopoles in on the lattice is a very delicate issue. There are two types of objects which we are studying. One is what you mentioned, that you select a particular gauge you want, and under that gauge you find monopoles. Right? The other approach, which started from this Kran von Ball solution, etc., is to look for those, not for monopoles, but for dyons, which together make instantons. And when the NC of them make instantons, they have topological charge. And you may ask a question, topological charge is related to zero modes of fermions, as everybody knows. And you may ask, since instanton has topological charge 1, but it consists of NC monopoles, on which of them is the topological charge? The answer is, on each of them subsequently, if you change Higgsing. And so using this trick, they were able, so you do simulation and then you artificially put fermions, so you do pure gauge theory, you study pure gauge theory, then you put artificial fermions on top of it with different boundary conditions corresponding to different A-naught, different Higgsing. And they resonate, so to say, they have zero modes either on this monopole or that monopole or that monopole. And doing that, you can localize them in the configuration. So this beautiful picture of three guys I have shown was obtained this way. It is how fermions via zero modes find them in the configuration. This thing is gauge independent, but it not looks for monopoles. It only looks for particular type of dyons which are in this environment. Yes.
The time is up now, and so we thank you. Short announcement.